You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
How was that clap, Tom?
We've had better.
Listen, sorry, up. I'm going to talk into a microphone that's not even in front of me. I was like, yeah.
You know what? We all do it sometimes. Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast where you are. This is a magic carpet ride of a fucking episode. But before we get to that, I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
Tom, you seem
joining
sad.
Us
what
today is Cisco.
Dumps like a truck. What?
So, guys like what?
But.
This is a crazy episode that I think might leave me. Right now, I'm up. I'm fucking charmed. I feel good, blessed, and highly favored. I think there's a chance that I feel bad at the end of this recording. Let's give it a go. But before we do, let's give a shout out to our sponsors.
Our sponsors. Let's start with Death Wish.
I'm ready.
He's ready.
He's on it.
I'm back.
We're back.
If you go to the Death Wish Inc., a record that I quite like.
Wait, would you say Death Wish Inc. again?
Death Wish Inc. It got all tongue-tied.
No, it's all right.
Dude, I've been talking never since 10 a.m. Like
I get you both with that, so yeah, all right.
So on deathwishinc.com, if you go to like their band section... And active bands.
Okay.
There's a band on there called Boy Sets Fire.
Okay.
They put out an EP by Boy Sets Fire that is currently out of print.
Mm.
But if you go to the right, I don't know if this is a split release, if they're carrying it in their distro. It's not really clear, but it's End Hits from Germany put it out.
Yep.
It's a
shout
reissue.
Out to Oizy.
That's your boy?
Yep.
It's a reissue of the, to me, the best Boy Sets Fire material, The Day the Sun Went Out, that was on Initial Records. 1997?
Mm-hmm.
Super great record. I really, really like it. Very, almost a little too earnest for its own good.
Yeah. That's the major, that's actually, my big that's, problem yeah, that's with the band, though.
No? Yeah, but I really, really, this is a favorite, one of my, you know, favorite records around this time. So I would tell you to go to deathwishinc.com, put in the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
And Pat, what are you going to do?
Spell it out.
And go buy that shit. Cop that.
Cop that. 10% it is, off. To some of you, that's going to be a blast from the past. And to others of you, you're going to hear a lot of what you hear in...
What you like now.
Yes.
You're going to be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, we give credit to stuff like Modern Life is War for kind of building that, and they deserve all that credit.
Yes.
You can hear little nuggets of stuff... in Boy Sets Fire that leads to that. And I'm not I don't even know that Boy Sets Fire was exposure point to those bands, but it's that kind of weird similarity that I hear a bit in that kind of show.
I think if you're of a certain age, Boy Sets Fire was hard to avoid for maybe just 5 years, but hard to avoid.
Yes, 100%.
Now, may I talk about our other sponsor for today?
Let's do it.
That would be Run for Cover. I think, not just because they put out my records, this is one of the stronger labels of our day.
Absolutely.
And I am here to celebrate today a record that I hadn't really given a shot called American Pleasure Club is the name of the band.
And now you've checked it out.
Fucking Bliss is the name of the record. Now, you know that that's a good start for me.
Fucking Bliss, yeah.
Anytime you have fucking in your name.
Curse
yo,
word,
let
in.
Me just say, my dude. Mm. Things on Run for Cover sell fucking copies. There's
true.
A lot of fucking successful bands. Yo, if you think about labels that have people that aren't working other jobs for like while they play music, Run for Cover has more than you could hope for, really. Right?
Yes.
When you name your record fucking Bliss, you're not interested in being...
No.
Highly successful, you're interested in being highly provocative. To which I say, God bless. I listen to this record. I get it because it's sarcastic because this is not a blissful record. This is a miserable human being. This is somebody going through it who is not happy during the recording of this record.
True.
And I think that if you are going through a thing and you're one of these fucking masochists who likes to listen to difficult things while you're in a difficult place, which actually psychologically they say is most people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I prefer to try to bang myself out of it. Be like, no, I need some fucking reggae. You know what I mean? Like, stop.
Yeah, you
stop.
Prefer one.
Give me some reggae. Give me some reggae. Stop.
You ever see fucking Axl Rose do that?
No. What's he doing?
Oh, dude, he goes, give me some reggae. And they break into a reggae part live.
Yeah. That's not true.
Bob, back me.
It's true.
Yo.
I'm going to hold. Please hold.
So this is for the bummers. This is for
the. And for the mummers.
This is for the mummers. The mummers and the bummers, and if you are in a mood to feel worse, this record's going to do a good job of it. So check that out. I would also urge you to go to Run for Cover's distro, which, as I've pointed out in a recent episode, impressed me so much, and give that shit a shot as well, because there's going to be something that you adore. What are you playing now? What?
He's skanking.
He's doing a message to you, Rudy? What's happening here?
Yes.
No. Fuck you. That's not real.
It's real. He just does it as a clip. They're looping it.
Yeah. If you want to watch it for an hour and 5 minutes, it's on
here. Since you didn't believe it existed, you should do that as your penance. Yeah. All right. So
Axegrind,
spell it out. Do the codes. Big thanks to our other sponsor, Close Casket Activities.
Also, while you're at the store, pick up that spiritual cramp record,
me?
Mass Hysteria.
Did you just say a?
He did.
But did I get slurry? What did I say?
You got a slur. You said a slur.
Oh, no.
Hopefully, there's no.
You just heard a slur.
You said a slur.
You said a slur.
new drug church lyrics.
Everybody,
new
drug Tom slur. Just looked at me hyper sincere through like over his glasses, being like, "You did say a slur.
You said the S word."
Guys, let's get back in the Toyota Camry and get back to the year 2000.
Okay.
Give me some reggae.
Yeah, give me the Toyota Camry.
I know. Did you go car shopping?
Would you drive a CRX?
Yeah.
You would, yeah. Me too. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. I mean,
like there's very little you could have asked me that question. Like, would you drive a minivan? Sure.
Sure, fuck it.
The giant truck, yes.
Big
the
truck.
Smaller the car, the harder it is for me to say yes. But
just because you're a taller guy.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable.
But you don't give a fuck about the clout.
No, I will say this. When I was 15, I believe my father and uncle got a Volkswagen Beetle, like a Bug, an old one. And like, oh, do you want this? I'm like, I don't think I can fit in this, and I'm 15.
Fuck.
So I kind of wasn't into that vibe. So, but you know, not for the clout, just size, just comfort. Anything for comfort. Guys, I think everybody loved last week's year 2000. I think for the younger folk, it's not so far back that they can't understand it.
Yep.
I think for the older folk, they were knee deep in it.
Yep.
I think there was a lot in that year. I'm very curious to see what all the feedback's going to be. But we said, you know what? It's 2020. Let's do some new things. Try new shit. We're going to do a year 2000 listening party where we visit some of our favorites, some of the odder bits and parts, and also just kind of some outliers that we wanted to put a light on.
Okay.
We're going to wrap this up, obviously, with one of Patrick's favorite bands ever. but why don't we start this with some New York hardcore?
Let's do it.
Tom.
Give me some reggae.
What do we have to do when Patrick gets off the rails sometimes? What do you have to do when he has to go like chase down Indian food for an hour in the middle of the night?
We have to vamp.
You got to hold it down.
We
got to
hold it down. Sure. Forgot.
Okay. As we
fuck.
As we discussed, very solid fucking record.
So once again, it's oh, dude.
Great way to start it.
Awesome.
What's on, do you think?
I mean, he's fucking
whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah.
This is the third. So it's an intro. It's Can't Stop, Won't Stop, Living by the Gun. And then this. That's a fucking. Enough time
been wasted now. I like Mike, when you do it a lot.
Yeah. All-time fucking frontman.
He really is. We're doing an episode coming up that I think a lot of you New York fans will like. If we included Madball. Madball.
They should have. They were
eight. Just for the one record. The peak. Even though we included some bands that stretched in, they had enough in there.
No one's going back to the 12-year-old Madball, right?
Just for novelty. Madball, God tier.
God tier. Personally and Zeitgeist.
For a long time, personally, I might put him in Legends, but set it off, demonstrate my style, and hold it down.
So many.
And I like the 7, the 12-year-old 7.
Oh, I do too.
It's like fun.
Colossal Man with a skinhead.
Fantastic.
And the Drop Mini Soccer 7.
Yes.
Okay, I know I'm hung up on this. When somebody says once again it's on,
so good.
Are you talking to
once again it's on?
Are you talking to your friend that you've engaged with it being on with in the past, or are you talking it to your enemy that you've engaged with it being on in the past?
Take all comers. Once again, it's on. Is he saying it to anyone who listens? You got a problem? It's on. You with us? It's on.
I know I've said this on this podcast, but I think Freddie Madball has become a better front person over time.
Yes. This is a random band, too. It's Freddie and Hoya, clearly. Mm-hmm. On guitar is Beto.
Yep.
For 25 to Life and Demise. And drummer Darren Morgenthaler, who I believe is the drummer for Maximum Penalty.
Oh, wow. All right.
So not Riggs, not like... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great record. Great song.
All so right. What was the deal? So Classic Records, then...
Classic Records was Stigma and Henderson.
Okay.
First two.
Yeah.
First two LPs.
Yes.
Then this was Beto and Darren. The record after that was John LaFada
mm-hmm.
from Neglect, The Mind of a Matter on drums.
Wow.
Might have been...
You're very Beto good at guitar. This, I'll be honest, Tom.
I really
dude,
like
wait,
hardcore.
What?
Oh, no, this is actually...
Stigma was on Set It Off?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Look My Way is before this.
Yes.
Yes.
So Look My Way...
That's the Roadrunner run, correct?
Yes, da, 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 correct. Yes. Look My Way is... There's no... Oh, Look My Way is Matt Henderson, Freddie Hoya, and Darren, and John LaFada from Neglect, Mind of Matter, and other bands. Death Cycle.
Really?
Yeah.
What a
great drummer.
What a collection of
great drummer.
Yo, how much we've talked about this, having such a varied resume that it's almost freaky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Madball, Neglect, and Mind Over Matter.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like imagine
what a random amalgam of
imagine being in Mind Over Matter.
Right. Artsy.
And then yep. going and playing in Madball.
Yeah. It's like the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Both probably fun as fuck.
Oh fuck yeah.
Both challenging in the ways that you would want musically.
Yes.
But one comes with an air of adventurism.
You know oh, I mean? Oh, like, that could be said. All right. Speaking of adventurism, let's go to Syracuse.
Oh, Syracuse. I've heard of it.
Yeah, this band Earth Crisis. Have you heard of them?
Yes. One of my favorite bands. I hope we're going to play one of their classic tracks.
We are. The song is?
Forced March. No.
Nemesis.
No! Year 2000. What did you do to my favorite band?
Well, here we go.
Nemesis was Freya.
Yes.
Weren't that in their name before they became Freya?
Correct.
Yo, great band name.
Nemesis?
Great band name.
This is...
And I won't make the same mistake.
Wow, yeah.
Coming is everything.
If you just played me this and you're like, who is this? Earth Crisis wouldn't not have been top 25.
So far, you're in, right?
No, that was rock. No. That was rock of the worst type.
I almost want to put on No Warning.
I do fucking love when Carl talks about the Overseer. I love it.
I don't like the restricted vocals.
No.
Oh,
Oh, this is
like 1992 Aussie.
Yeah.
I always thought this was in Slither because the song Slither.
No, that's another. That's a different terrible part.
Yeah. But I thought this line was from the song Slither.
Who's doing the second vocals here?
I'm pretty sure this is Carl.
His best performance.
See, you are able.
He's able to. Because I will say, like, if you had told me, like, hey, Bob, this is the new Youth of Today record, I'd be like, no!
But because he's not.
You got a skin in the game.
I can sympathize, but I can't empathize. I can imagine it. But, like, to me, I'm like, this is butt rocky, but, like, okay.
I mean, if I'm going to be fair, in hardcore history, there's been greater offenses of
100%.
Of terrible. Well, dude, well.
This is picture Ozzy standing behind a podium.
I'm doing a thing in my head right now where I'm cutting bail. I'm making excuses, saying, like, you know, you got to take chances.
If this was an Earth Crisis and this fucking generic band B that was a hardcore band, I wouldn't be offended by this.
Right.
No, you might be right. I mean, I wouldn't like it.
You'd be like, this is cool. The guy can sing a little bit.
A little bit.
No. If I told you that was Ozzy Osbourne, you'd believe me.
I'd say what
the 1993 Ozzy EP with those parts. Not this part.
Give me this part. I'm okay with this. Really?
I'd rather have him sing.
I'm not mad about this part. Like, if this was not Earth Crisis, I want to get that Ozzy part again. I like it so much.
That last part into this? Okay.
You're okay with it. I want to say that the vocal production on Carl's vocals here, I think is really good. I actually think just sounds good. Like, better than the two LPs that came before.
What do you think Tony Victory said when Earth Crisis said, look, Tony, the Roadrunner thing didn't work out.
Sure, bros, whatever. What? How much it costs? All right, how about half that? Can you do that? All right, let's go.
Bob just did a gesture, a Tony gesture.
Face off the plate.
So, but what I'm saying is,
it's new metal.
I don't think it's new metal. I think this is butt rock. This is 95.
This riff is straight up fucking System of a Down.
No, it's not that.
I love Earth Crisis. System of a Down is more clever than this.
This is 95 butt rock radio music.
Yeah, Stone Sour shit right now.
Not even sounds fun.
Yeah, it does.
I think you guys are missing. This is Ozfest 95, local stage.
2000.
In 2000, yeah.
Terrible.
The more I hear it, the more I fucking hate it.
Could you imagine if someone who really loves Life of Agony would be like, I don't hate this?
Yeah, but they're my enemy.
Shut up. Does Taylor Young like this record? Message him.
Text him right now.
He's going to. You could use your computer if it would be easier for you.
Yeah, I know.
He picked up the small machine and it fucked him up. So if that was not Earth Crisis, neither of you would be wholly offended.
No, I just,
but,
like,
but because it is, it's really difficult.
Yes.
I understand that impulse very much. I'm not.
I love Earth Crisis. Earth Crisis, I love you. That was a dark moment. I'd never want to revisit it. I'm sorry. I can't say anything positive about it.
Here comes
this.
Nemesis by Earth Crisis. Again.
I will take contain, control, to dominate 1,000 times.
I
think that sucks too.
Oh, I like that song.
Really?
Yeah.
So here's, is that the parsing? You like Gamora's.
No, but that was from Breed the Killers.
Okay.
So Breed the Killers, I think is
Breed the Killers, you really are out on Tom.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
It's not great.
Okay, and you're out on it, but you have some songs.
It has heavy moments, a couple tracks. It's the vocals that are halting that just take you out of it because they went for something.
Purely on vocal production. So there are vocals over, like when he's doing the hard voice, not his Ozzy voice.
I straight up might take this over Breed the Killers.
Okay.
Breed the Killers was going for like almost, not death metal, but going for like, I would say something heavier than all that. It was like, I don't know. I don't, okay. It just does not work.
Okay. Let's go.
Because Earth Crisis is plotting. It's like, you got to do it right.
Let's lighten the mood.
Let's do it.
Like shake it off.
Yeah, shake it off.
Talk about what's your favorite season, Patrick? The only one you like?
Summer, that's it.
And let's do when 20 Summers Pass. Shelter.
One of my favorite bands as a kid. Do I still love them? Is this going to excite me? No, because it's the year 2000, so it's got to be ass.
Do you remember this record when it came out or no?
I did.
Liked it. Fun fact, me and Tom first met at the Shelter tour date on this tour in Northern New Jersey.
Is that true?
That's true.
Where was it?
North Jersey Retroplex, maybe? It was a, what's his name, show?
A Heath Miller show?
Heath Miller show. XSDB.
20 summers past.
I've run out of things to sing about.
So I think I said off the air, this is Ray Capo telling you stories. It's not him telling you about how to live. It's not him being angry.
This is Dylan phase.
What's right, that?
This is Dylan phase.
It's post devotee, like, and it's not to say that he isn't not into Krishna consciousness. That's all over here too. But he's really kind of speaking more of, like, personal experiences.
It's like his visions really of Johanna right now.
This is straight up like Uncle Ray is telling us a story that sucks. That's what it is.
But you like wrap it up, B.
I like this song and a couple others.
Yeah.
This is not a bad Shelter song by any means.
This fits in the set. When they play sets, this fits right in.
But I don't think it holds a fucking candle to Mantra or
Quest for Certainty. Yeah. Quest for Certainty, yeah.
You know what I hate?
Nice
what is this on?
Here. This is what?
What record label?
Victory. Well, so Century Media had worldwide rights, but it was released on Victory in the U.S.
And who put out Beyond Planet Earth? Roadrunner.
Roadrunner.
We, bunch of my dudes worked at Roadrunner when that record came out. I cannot tell you how many Ray Capo stickers we had when they were promoting it. He's on a surfboard.
Fuck you.
Floating away from Planet Earth.
Beyond Planet Earth.
Yeah, dude. We had it on everything.
I mean, but here's the deal. If someone said, Tom or Pat or Bob, here's an outer space surfboard, you can go fly around in outer space. Don't you do it?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'd be still
a
surfer.
I guess.
Yeah, Norn Rad, you're in. As long as Earth isn't getting Zen Law, I'm good.
I guess, honestly, I guess if Roadrunner offered me a space surfboard and I could, like Norn Rad, I don't want to be a Herald of Galactus because it involves too much bloodshed.
You're killing. Yeah. You're vegan. You can explain that. Galactus, I'm vegan. I can't do this.
Yeah.
No slaughter.
It's unfortunate that to live, others must die.
I mean, is this the story waiting from Norn Rad? There's a vegan metaphor.
There is a vegan metaphor.
There's a lot of great Silver Story stories, but you could write a really good one. Silver Surfer, underrated cool superhero.
Yeah.
Shelter, great song. There's some great songs on that record. There's some ones as
in the
reviewed,
band, one of them.
Sort of, but sort of awful too.
Yeah, sort of.
Like it's very weird and personal, and like also a little bit joyful in a weird way. I don't know. I can't really explain it and talk about it without being really uncomfortable.
This is way more involved than I thought.
I feel like we could actually have a conversation with Ray where he would understand that there's so much love and respect about this, and that. You know, he probably is like, yeah, you know.
It's also cool. Okay to brick every once in a while. Like,
and it's okay. You know what he's probably saying?
Yeah.
It's okay to sing about there's a health food restaurant over there.
Yeah, I refute that, but
we got to add extra dates.
I just want to update you guys.
Wait,
is that all right?
Can you bring the propaganda fan back in here? Propaganda. That's who it is. Andy Propaganda over here.
Taylor Young.
Yes.
Of Twitching Tongues, Nails, whatever else fame.
You dropped something.
Well, yeah, I think
we get it. You have his fucking number.
No, but I figured would. What if somebody doesn't know who the fuck I'm talking about, and I just
Taylor
go,
Young,
I just go, Taylor says.
Taylor, friend
when you
of the
say
pod.
That, I go, dude, you guys know like six Taylors.
Listen,
that's true.
So, okay, so you guys asked me to ask Taylor what he thought of fucking.
I cannot
Slither.
Believe how big the fucking text is. Just hold it up over there, and we'll read it ourselves.
Oh my god, I'll read it to you.
Okay,
do you want me to read it for you?
Okay. Starts at the bottom.
I mean, yeah, I was 13 when it came out. I didn't know what was what.
This is Slither. This is in reference to Slither.
Killing brain cells. It just sounded like a Bad Machine Head song, yeah. Behind the Wire has a cool part. Ask him about the song Nemesis. Okay. All right.
Let's see if he's ever turned himself into a monster to fight against the monsters of the world.
And thinks that maybe it'd be cool if Ozzy Osbourne did do some vocal parts on Earth Crisis songs. All right. This song is by Boy Sets Fire, Delaware HC. The song is called Rookie off the album After the Eulogy.
Have you ever heard this?
Yes.
It's a good song.
This is the So do you just want to listen to Ignite, but you don't like bros and like bleach blonde yeah. hair and operatic parts?
Do you like your bros like in from Delaware?
Yeah. Would you like Pennywise if they were from Delaware and just a little less like socks to the knees?
Not as operatic as Ignite. That's
no,
the only,
exactly.
I can say that much.
Yeah, not as operatic.
And Zoli's never screamed.
I think he does. I think Zoli does get some screams. Like in my time. In my time.
He like screams like metalcore scream.
No, you're right. That is a very good point.
Pat's bobbed his head. Pat is bobbed his head.
I'm in.
Are you really?
No.
This part, drive scene in a late 90s teen movie. Vocal part drops down a little bit. Guy's looking through, looks in the back seat. It's his ex-girlfriend's backpack. It's pink. It's a pink JanSport. Goes to grab it. You don't know what's going on, but he just parked in front of his parents' house. It's a Corvette. It's a convertible, obviously. Oh, pulls the backpack open. It falls open. Picks up a bunch of memories. It's a notebook with her name and his and a big heart.
Threat level midnight.
Yeah. He starts looking through memories, dreams, her writing her first name with his last name 8 different ways. He looks off, crying. She died in a car accident last week.
So help me out.
Yeah.
Those of you that know more about Boyz II Fire later career, did it all go in this direction? Because before this, I'm familiar with the kind of more Grade-esque or clean vocals, but over much more not metalcore. What would you call that?
Deedle-y like, music?
Yeah, Deedle-deedle?
Yeah, yeah. But heavier.
Heavier, but also slow and kind of, yeah. Gentle heavy.
It's a gentle heavy.
Like a breezy heavy.
You know, that's a weird type of music that we're talking about.
It is. That the Boyz II Fire, what, it's After the Sunset? No. No, the record before this.
There's In Cristales.
The day the
sun
went
out. That has more screaming, for sure.
More screaming, gentle parts with screaming, but it's a very odd music style.
Okay, so check it out.
Very little like it.
These parts, I fully get how a stadium full of people could enjoy.
Stadium full of Germans two-stepping.
Yes.
In Lederhosen.
Do you think having... So this guy's voice is...
Radio effect.
Is a blessing in some way, but it's so earnest that it can be alienating, don't you think?
He's certainly got a good voice. It could be. I think that some of the production choices and in tandem with the music makes it almost feel flatter than it actually is, because he's certainly good.
Listen to the kid from Piss Jeans. That's alienating because it's too snide, and you think, oh, this kid has his tongue in his cheek. This you listen to and you go,
he's too serious.
This dude's too serious, self-serious.
Maybe, but I don't know. I think it depends on the mood of what you're going to it for.
Well, sure. Like I mean, I really like some hot water music, and that can order right.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this finds a place more alongside this song, especially finds a place more alongside something like hot water music than it would something more aggressive. Right?
This is hot water. I think music that's played by Snapcase.
Yeah. Well thought. So this is their best song, right?
It's one of them. I think it's a great song.
I think I like... which record is this that we're listening to? Right?
After the Eulogy.
After the Eulogy, which is the Rise.
2000,
Rise.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think... the first one, I think I could probably find more that
yeah,
I would vibe
to
with.
It, more time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys.
What time is it?
Time to horse kick your friend in the face.
Yeah.
Dead at birth, death threat.
Yeah. So you're going to play me Horse Jumper Love?
Oh.
Damn.
Not today. Yeah, that's the horse kick jumper of love.
No, nice.
Medic
this
style.
Is a killer set opener. People are just fucking just flailing.
You know what I think is interesting? That anybody dances to this. To me, this is stage bad music.
The first... I saw Death Threat in Connecticut in 99 or 2000, and saw him at the Palladium at a really big show, and I, what's the dude, is it White Trash Rob? he sings his part in the Death Threat song, and then he was also moshing for them.
Oh.
He was going hard, as were many others. It was quite a sight to see.
Death Threat appeals to the older hardcore person that, but I don't know exactly what they're hearing. That, like,
New England hardcore.
You think that's, but like what exactly?
It's hard, but it's fast enough.
Yeah.
And it appeals to the dudes who liked hardcore in the 80s, but then through the 90s when things were thin. And it's hard enough that they're like, yeah, this is really pissed off.
If you like voice, I mean, if you like Blood for Blood, what would
Blood for Blood. If you like Madball, you like this.
Yeah.
This is pissed off. I work on a construction site and I'm going to go let off a little steam.
That's for certain, yeah.
Yo.
No one sounds like Knuckles.
You want to talk about, like, he's got perfect cameo vocals. You know what I mean? Like,
there's plenty of people who dismiss this band outright because of the dude's vocals. I'm here for it. I like the vocals a lot. It's what set them apart from so many bands of this world. And if it wasn't for this dude's vocals, I would be so much more dismissive, but I'm glad not, because the music's cool. So.
What, I mean, think about this, though. What a choice.
100%.
And he's all in. He did that. This band was probably like, but it's so perfect, and you're so used to it now, but at the time, you're probably like, yo, man, this is weird.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yes.
It works perfectly. I couldn't imagine those songs being sung any differently.
No. I mean, imagine someone stepping in. Imagine trying to fill
imagine
in.
Imagine Pat singing.
Oh, that would be fun something.
As fuck. I'll be honest.
If you did, that is the cover challenge for Self Defense Family.
Do a Death Threat cover.
Dead at Birth. Be like, I'd like to do cover Death Threat, Dead at Birth.
I could get 3/4 on board, and I would need to bring in
get Benny.
Outside
bring in the,
players.
Bring in the
Benny knows the songs.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He could play it from memory right now.
Who
get Andrew a little bit buzzed and be like,
Andrew would play in a heartbeat.
Yes, he would.
He would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew likes
hardcore.
I had to explain
way
to,
more
I explained
than
to
any,
some people
way more than he admits.
I explained to some people who are Overnight Drive fans and fanatics. I'm like, yo, secretly those dudes, that's still the music they primarily listen to.
Even though they like to believe that they like to act that they're
hardcore dudes.
Yo, Hans, in part just because he's highly knowledgeable on music, not just hardcore,
very incredibly so,
a wellspring of useless information on hardcore music. Both of them actually.
Had, yeah, both. Hans more so because he it's certainly spent time in the minutia.
Yep,
and still retains it all, just like his knowledge on like tanks or some shit. All right. Let's go to the Netherlands. Born from Pain.
All right.
Reclaiming the Crown. I think you both are going to enjoy this a lot. I said the new Downpressor record reminds me of it. This song is Reclaiming the Crown.
We're pretty fucking aggressive so far.
How is this not brought up, though, when you bring up the Go Out Wars and the Marauders? And
I think it really should be.
That's serious. I mean, these dudes have been around for a grip.
Long time.
Yeah.
Yo.
It's
really relentless.
Yeah. He's kind of got like a Josta vibe to the vocal.
Wow. Okay, so they've actually released as more records with the second singer than they have with the first.
I didn't know they were different singers.
That's a long time in the game.
Mid-90s?
That's pretty crazy.
No, I think they started late 90s. Maybe 90?
97.
97? Okay. Yep. Demo 97. First EP 99. This is 2000, according to this, so...
Thank you.
I listened to a lot of this record, actually. And for the heavier stuff, I thought, all right.
Yeah.
The recording is fucking great.
I was saying, sorry.
I think I listened to this at the same time as Fury, The Five, Mushmouth, a couple of those other ones. And this one stood out from the pack. So vocally, do you hear some of that gruffiness?
Yeah, absolutely. Kanos, Don Presser, I hear Justin Costa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Musically, Marauder All-Out War.
I think a less metal All-Out War is a less thuggish Marauder. Does that sound about right?
I don't think Marauder is that thuggy music.
You know what? I used to not think that. I was like, oh, it's just metal, and I like things like
that
steal from it all the time. Yeah. My last listen, I was like, no, it's kind of goonish.
Yeah, it's Creator and fucking Venom to me.
Yeah. All right.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at all.
Yeah, I don't think mad at all. If you aren't familiar with Born From Pain, but you like heavier stuff, check this record out. Pat, take us on a lead here. Figure Four, Creed.
Okay, don't know shit about them except what I learned recently, which I guess is that it is multiple members of Comeback Kid that went on to, or that started in Born in. That started in Figure Four, went on to Comeback Kid. This is a Canadian act. Not just the Canadian hate breed, in my view, the Christian hate breed. I like this way more than I anticipated, and that's really all I know.
All right. The song is Creed, because why would not be called Creed? Figure Four. Let's go. So right off the bat, the production going from Born From Pain to this, really tough, right?
Fucking mad, it's madball.
Yes.
I don't hear hatred at all.
No? You listen.
Yeah. The first part sounded exactly like this one Down to Nothing song that is a madball riff.
See, I think that's way heavier than madball. No disrespect to
No,
madball.
But I think this is pretty madball.
Did you ever mock for this kind of stuff?
No, people... I'm not trying to paint Albany out to be rough. There's way rougher places. Buffalo, if you get really hurt. Connecticut. The places that I would drive... places I would drive to for shows were harder than Albany, for sure.
Yeah.
But I was 100 pounds and stuff like this was big.
Pop it.
I would have got my little head torn off.
I don't hear it.
No? You don't hear any hate breed?
No. I mean, maybe a little bit.
I heard more Madball.
More Madball. Really? And I didn't think it was very good.
I think the center of that is heavier than anything Madball ever did. No?
No. That's Comeback Kid's way better.
Oh, I disagree. I'd rather listen to this than Comeback Kid. Yeah. But again, Comeback Kid.
You know what? Agree to disagree.
All right, guys. So I want to ask you both a question. Something that's been on my mind for a while.
What happened to the passion? What happened to the reason for
who the fuck killed John Lennon?
Yo, I just stop, man.
Mark David Chapman.
Just play the fucking track.
18 Visions.
I need to stay out of this.
You gonna get that heavy? You gonna get that sassy?
Maybe not. We'll see. Pretty fucking heavy so far.
Yeah, let's be silver lining. Alright, super discordant.
See, this is more heavy. Coalesced to me.
What's this stopping? That's weird, but okay.
With mosh bars. More mosh and color.
Yeah.
There's no throwdown for this.
No?
I don't think so.
On that throwdown EP, I was hearing a lot of comfortables. Like this part.
Yeah, I throw that.
Where you get that big guitar in the background. Was there a moment in time where this was in your world, or no?
No, to be honest, I never liked 18 Visions. There was... this is pre-Patrick Bean Cosmic Mind,
yes.
Where now I don't care how off-putting you are. The more off-putting you are, the more I like you.
Yes, this is pre-contrarian.
This was, to me... Look, man. The craziest I ever got with my fucking clothes was army pants that were a little too big.
No, when you were white belted.
Never white belted.
That's one of your favorite dislikes. You dislike it so much to get that
idea. Never white belted.
How much money would you bet that we could find a picture of Patrick with a white belt?
Oh, yeah, I saw him with a fucking... We had that picture of him up front at MPB, and he's got like a Spock rock hair.
That's around the time period. That's when he was.
Well,
that's what he was.
I can't confess I had Spock rock hair. Or I can't deny I had Spock rock hair. I saw the photo myself unless it was altered.
Flare jeans, white belt, all in.
No white belt, although my jeans were always wider at the bottom than most people would like.
Did you ever go super wide?
I don't think so, but I definitely probably as like an early teen color wore something like boot cut-ish.
I never went super wide. I certainly had a boot cut at some point. I never went super wide, but I did the Old Navy fucking carpenter pants. Because it was for lack of having... One, I didn't want to go Jenko. But
taller guys have better luck with that than...
But I was
like
so thin.
Oh, no.
There was never... I could never get jeans that would fit on my legs because my legs were skinny. And it was really tough. So here's the deal. We still have two and a half minutes.
You think this song is 3 minutes longer than it used to be? I know.
Yeah.
I'm there with you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think it's terrible.
No, it's not. And this was my takeaway from the OC metalcore dive that I did for this thing.
How long did you say it was?
Huh?
How much longer?
Oh, we still have another 2 minutes.
Oh, fuck, man. Come on.
Right. I know. Like, yo, I don't care how much your friends like you or like to hit each other to your songs. This is not... It's too long.
Well, it depends.
Here we go.
You have a million different parts, I guess.
This is where everyone's like,
yeah, a little
jazz. Ooh, around.
Damn, a little jazz. Yeah. The jazz. Oh, no, wait, I'm not.
Oh, shit. Don't punch me.
No.
Here's my question with this, because when I moved to California, certain things clicked a lot more. I liked rival schools before I moved to California, but when I moved to California is when I fell in love with it, because it's sunny weather.
It's sunny California music played by
right.
New York guys.
Right, and it really works. Drive around California, listen to rival schools, have a good time. When I'm driving from doing some cardio to go get my smoothie in Costa Mesa, this isn't what I'm putting on.
No.
When I got a little break between classes at Orange Coast College, I'm trying to go down to the beach, Dog Beach.
Right, with Hobie from Baywatch.
Right, I'm not...
Utah,
this isn't what I'm going
two.
On.
Is this still
Do you
gone?
Think Baywatch could...
Is
this still
the
same
song?
Yes.
Yeah, Bob.
I know.
I had enough.
We're playing a full EP.
Yeah, what's up?
Is that
Dude,
it?
It's one song.
Are we
done? Is that it? You guys told me to put this song on here. I just did what you
it's
said.
It's a song title I recognize.
I deny it now.
Okay. We'll just call it at 4 minutes
Wait,
and 5 seconds.
Wait, is this the same
seconds.
Fucking track?
Yes, dude.
Hold on, we got to see it through now. We got to see it through.
How much longer we got?
We got a minute and
nope.
20 seconds.
Nope,
there's
kidding.
No way. There's,
right.
That was
we're
not an hour and a half. There was
we're
not a minute.
What's happening?
It's 4:15 of 5:24, guys.
There's Starkweather albums that aren't this long. What is this?
Yeah, man.
This is definitely like some outro.
This is your world.
It's a gimmick.
This isn't coming back
Your
yet.
Music, your world. Victory Records.
Okay.
Do you think people could fly with Baywatch as a TV show today? What would post-woke Baywatch be like?
We've talked about Baywatch Nights.
No, but it's a cool concept. We should talk about Baywatch.
Do you know what happened the second season?
No. Stuff got too crazy?
It didn't rebrand.
Yes.
It just changed. This is the second season.
Yes.
It wasn't...
So far, if you stopped the music a minute ago and did this part, I'm like, okay, where are we going?
What? Yeah.
Didn't rebrand.
Baywatch was really successful. Baywatch Nights is launched as like the steamier version.
Yeah, the Melrose Place for Baywatch.
Doesn't take off immediately, so they're like, oh shit. So they rip off, shamelessly, no apologies, The X-Files.
Oh.
Season 2 becomes a Monster of the Week paranormal detective mystery show set in the Baywatch universe.
I vaguely remember this. Okay, so who are we recruiting to do the live blog / live podcasting of season 2 for Baywatch? Can Tom do it with us? Do we need to get Eric? Where's Pat? Where's the other Patrick and Paul?
When you and I did 90210.
Yes. Who? Do you know about this, Pat? Tom?
No.
Okay, me and Patrick and his other friend Patrick, right?
Yep.
Live blogged
live blogged the entire first season of 90210. We watched it straight through.
So like 12 hours.
No. It was like 18 or 19 yeah, because the episodes are 44 minutes long.
Right. And then and there was a lot. Like 24. 20,
there was a lot of episodes. So
that sounds like...
We thought it was going to be 12, and then it was like, oh no.
Yeah,
we started at like at 9 a.m. That was...
What was longer, that exercise or that 18 vision song?
That's the feeling. I think that's what brought us here.
Yeah. But who turned out to be a secret fan?
Secret fan?
Secret fan of that thing that we did.
Oh, Pat Flynn?
Pat Flynn.
Big 90210.
I think might be the person that we need to do Baywatch Nights with.
Okay. I think he could be in. All right. That's the one. All right. We did roll with the punches on that fucking 18 vision
Holy
song.
Holy shit. Cleanse Let's go.
Carry on.
Although I didn't hate that song. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
Well, here's the thing, right? Is the
Cut 2 minutes
the
off
difference
and I'm in.
Between Born from Pain.
2.5 minutes, sure.
Yeah.
The difference between Born from Pain and that 18 Vision song, if you're into heavy music, you should be able to enjoy both, except 18 Vision's overstays its welcome by a fucking...
I mean, you fast forward when you get to that...
Recurring...
Yeah,
could you imagine listening on a CD? Holy shit. You're listening to the first half of the song, maybe, and then clicking skip. If not, just skipping the track, even though it's fine if you like that shit.
Yeah.
Let's roll with the Carry on. That's their trademark sound right there. Shout out, this is the first Carry On record with Todd's on.
Oh, yeah?
Todd's on.
Corey in this?
Corey's on this, yeah. Corey was in the Carry On from Get.
Greg Bacon?
Greg's not on this.
No.
Greg joins the band around like a...
I was on drums, did you?
No. Pretty
Before Nick. Yep.
I think Nick is on Lego Play. Youthful vocals.
This is pre-AM.
Yes, correct. So, through this exercise, when it hit this, it was very refreshing. So what does this do for you?
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
I fucks with it.
Yeah, actually, I think this is my favorite Carry On song. All right. This is the band. This record, I'd actually be curious to hear your input on, because you might not fuck with it at all, or you might be able to... It might appeal to you in some way now. 20 years ago? I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Hit me.
Count Me Out, Best of Me, first song off of their LP, 110. First thing first. Sounds really good.
Yep, so far we're coming in crisp.
Strong vocals, in my opinion.
Vocals really make this for me.
Really strong. You put a below average singer on this, it's regular, fine.
Normal youth group.
Yeah, like good production.
Yeah.
So some of these guys were in the band Time Flies, who I think were okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Like right. That. Right.
Yeah.
Placement.
Yeah.
Count Me Out when they did this record, production and then Jason's vocals separated a lot.
Yeah.
This is in the post In My Eyes world.
Yeah. Different recording.
That part always sounded like he says, I can.
Hey.
Respect.
He's a good friend of mine for the record. How can I have been so lost? The truth is plain to see. I just couldn't see it. Right there in front of me. We all make mistakes. We've got to keep moving on. Put the past behind us. Begin to rebuild our trust. Lyrics, I think, are losing.
This type of music's tough for me, man.
Spotify just shut on me. That's okay.
I like it.
Yeah. So what did you think? Give your analysis.
Me?
Yeah. Tom and me like it.
What do I like? Yeah, I guess vocals are a strong point for me. I like that it keeps it moving.
Minute 36.
Yeah, keeps it moving. It's brisk. I'm with all that. However, this just sounds like Modern Youth Crew to me, which is like, I can never decide if I like that better or worse than First Round Youth Crew. Mm-hmm. I like it. I do confess I like it better than Demo Youth Crew. You know, like
Demo Core stuff.
Yeah, Demo Core Youth Crew. Demo Core Youth Crew, I'd rather break my toes and have to walk in boots. I don't. Yeah, this is fine.
Okay, fine. That's fine. All right.
Have you, this is totally unrelated, but Lou finally responded to me because I sent it to him on Sunday and he got back to me today.
Respect. He's like me.
There's a dude that goes up to like famous rappers and he's like, yo, I got bars. Let me rap for you for a second.
Okay.
And they rap like, he raps like four lines and he's rapping the person that they're speaking. The guy he's rapping to, he's rapping his lines to him and it takes
him a second to
every
pull
rapper
together.
Go, yo, that's mine. He goes, yo, I said I had bars. I didn't say they were mine though.
It's like his prank. I like
so that. Fucking funny. I'll send it to you guys.
Please do. All right. Next one is the band Striking Distance. Let me get this. Striking Distance, Along for the Ride. This is what you have to say about Youth Crew.
Well, now we're in the music I actually can fuck with a little bit.
Forty seconds,
perfect.
Give me 40 seconds. That's good. Nice. That's
I would
nice.
Take hard any 40 part. Seconds. Yeah.
I'm not. To be honest, I'm not crazy about the production. I think it almost wasn't flattering for something as raw as that's
EP,
supposed to be.
Yeah. But oh, you think it was too big for it?
I did. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I don't know. I think it was just about perfect.
I thought vocals sounded. I know this is a weird criticism. I know it. Those vocals sounded bigger than they needed to be.
Oh, they could have been. Yeah. But I think it's. Not a production choice. I think it's just that dude's vocals were that. It was like one of those singers who it's like, oh shit, you know, you don't put him. He could stand behind the band and he's still projecting beyond them. All right, the next one is a song by the band Strider. It's called Sucker. I think it's a little bit different than what we just heard.
Okay, let's see. We couldn't talk about this era without talking about some of the more palatable stuff.
Yeah, because there was a lot of it. This is a wave where it was like you were starting to get the choice to like. You know what? I like hardcore. I'm into hardcore, but really I like soft shit.
I like to have fun, man. Nope. I don't like fun that much. Oh! Stop your singing! No! Please stop!
So this is the first, like, in the... Man, Saves the Day went big. We're not necessarily looking for clones of that, said Equal Vision, but maybe some more stuff sort of like that. Perhaps? That is cool.
This is tiring me out, man, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm.
This record was everywhere.
Everywhere.
I want to give credit to EVR. They were doing like sampler CDs in 2000, 2001, and I felt like I just was walking by them on the streets in my town like they were littered like garbage. Like,
yeah,
like,
I
just,
think
like,
they were dropped from planes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The Equal Vision airdrops.
Yes. It's a bit like when they drop like propaganda on
yes.
occupied territory.
Exactly. You're given a mission. Tom, you're given a mission by our future good president of the United States. You need to skydive, drop something on. How much do you say, I need this much to do it? To skydive, drop a package.
I mean, how important is the package?
Very. Humanitarian mission.
Probably do it for free.
Okay. Patrick? Skydrive, airdrop, humanitarian mission.
Hold on. Say it again.
The president of the United States, not Donald Trump, the next one, the good one. The good one.
Who are we saying that is?
Bernie.
It's Bernie?
Bernie Yang. They merged them together, kind of like. Bernie and Andrew Yang sewn together like some sort of weird cyborg.
And Elizabeth Warren.
To keep him young.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Keep them fueling.
Okay.
You're tasked to skydive, drop off something that's humanitarian mission. how much do you tell them you need? Or would you do it for free like Tom?
To skydive?
Yeah, you're being dropped out of a plane into a place.
You gotta drop some stuff off.
Oh, but is it a dangerous place? Is the skydiving the problem, or is am I dropping into enemy territory?
Skydiving.
Oh, skydiving?
It's skydiving. It's a drop.
Would you do it for like the good of the country?
No, I do it for $2,000.
$2,000? Just ask for nothing.
I'm offended by that.
Just ask for nothing. I'm doing it.
I'd rather you ask for nothing. That's the equivalent of giving like a server like 50 cents.
By the way, it's when Amalgam President Good hears that, they look at you in disgust and are like, just give him $2,000 from the fucking petty cash. Jesus Christ. Get out of here. Go do it.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
All right, so that was Sucker by The Strider.
Sure.
Not a strong one by them.
Sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it.
All right, Sucker.
This is a song kind of in the thrash world. This song is D-E-A-D by Dead Nation. I pivoted. I wanted to play this over Tear It Up. Yeah. It's off the Painless EP.
Sucker, Timmy. Way more punk than I thought. Okay.
Oh, super punk. So, the thing I've spoken on is the guitar player of this band, who's the primary songwriter, aka the dude who wrote all the music very tightly, and the drummer, not that they didn't get along, but there was a contrast in styles,
sensibilities,
and the guitar player was the kind of final say, like, yo man, this is like my song, like, play the drums like this. And that tension, I think, makes the last two Dead Nation records really good. Because it's somebody saying, no, play slower, and the other people are like, no, I'm going to play this faster. And they're like, no, play slower. And so there's parts like this where it almost sounds like the guitars are trying to keep up with the drums.
Bands fight over the dumbest fucking shit.
Sometimes that ends up being interesting.
Okay. I didn't... Oh, is it going on? No, come on, 18 Visions, knock it off. We don't need this part.
Yeah, that could have, it could have cut right there.
Could have cut. Yeah. I would have thought it was pretty strong right there.
Come on, 18 Visions. There's a good story about Tear It Up and 18 Visions playing together in Austin, where Dave, then years later, not years later, probably 6 months later, came home and we were printing 18 Visions merch. And there was an 18 Visions test print hoodie that he hid under Andy's driver's seat in his car that Andy didn't find for like a year and a half. And then and then the joke being, oh, you found your 18 Vision hoodie finally. All right, guys. Another question for you guys from Orange County. We don't know who the fuck killed John Lennon, but do you know who sold out now?
Is this the theme song to
How's Your Edge.com?
No, it's, you know what it is? It's the, you think we sold out because we get paid
money to play
$18,000 to play Poland. Fuck you, man.
Who
you
sold out now?
Mm-hmm. Yo, straight up, if anybody tries to stand in my way of making $18,000 for playing Poland, I'll show you what it means. Let me make that fucking money.
Solely agrees.
Check 1, 2.
Seeing an Ignite in Orange County, fun.
Yeah,
big stage dive, a lot. Groupies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Limits to the land.
Oh, all right. We played it in Buffalo with them and Strong Balls. And Sons of Abraham.
Wow.
Strong Balls. Finished studies, master's degree, now consulting development companies.
Who sold out now?
So the beginning of this is the plow that broke the plane. We as humans destroy everything. Well, there's limits to land. Let the resistance and the monkey wrench cause the money roll again.
That, I feel like that first verse has become an accent.
No, sounds like he was writing like no.
Like Earth's first stuff.
Well, he's saying he's saying that that's what's going on. Distro Circus at every show is a
$25 shout.
Yeah,
he's like fuck you, Rick.
I think he takes shots at Earth Crisis, the monkey wrenching because money rolls against. Left the resistance in the monkey wrenching, crossed money rules again. Makes my ears ring. I care about hardcore. But guess what, guys? No, Zoli, you are not.
You are a unique individual.
Oh. Yeah, the first group of lyrics are pretty good. The plow that broke the plains, we assume, is to destroy everything.
And then it's like...
Then it gets into making fun of 16-year-olds, and it's like, yo, man, what's going on?
I see you in your chat room.
Alt.music.hardcore. I read it.
Yo, how crazy is it that there's multiple bands from this era that have songs calling kids out for talking shit on the internet?
Oh, frequent refrain.
Shutdown has one.
Zayo has one.
Dude, there's... Yeah. Every band in every scene considered it. Yo, man, that one fucking asshole. I mean, Ill Blood is about internet shit talker.
Yeah.
Huh?
Tennis Chick 69 is talking that shit.
Tennis Chick. All right. This is the Downset song as requested by Patrick Russell.
Yo,
Isaiah Kinley.
Pat, I fucking hate you.
No Home.
I hate myself. You're
no prick. Home Steady.
Oh, my God. I'm going to die.
It's only 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
It's going
I'm in. I wish you could see how Tom's looking at me.
Very, very.
It's not with affection.
No. Oh, relax.
I was gonna say I hate movements.
2000 was a weird time.
Yeah, it was.
This is gonna want me to make a movie. Check your people. Social justice.
Social unrest.
Yeah.
Cool looking 7-inch cover. Not a great
one.
No. That was a lot lost and found special.
Yep. All right, you know what? I changed my mind. I like it.
You're an asshole.
When can you do this? Oh, War Profiteer LP 2.
Done.
I keep it fancy.
The fact that you were put off by Ace Invasion, but fuck with this.
I didn't say I fuck with this, but you do see me bopping.
You said, I'm in. Does that mean you're in? Fuck with it?
I'm in. I'm steady rocking.
This is closer to that Axl Rose loop than it is me.
I'll be honest.
And self-fuck.
I don't hate this. Well, wait. Oh, he's just saying a bunch of words now.
If this was anti-Zach De La Rocha, I'd be really curious about that. I'd be psyched.
Somebody check him for a stroke.
Is it Shaytan? Is that a Satan? Is that a Satan?
Shaytan.
He had a head injury. He's just speaking word salad now.
There's a world where I'd like to know all the lyrics of the song and be able to just pull that out. Like, what if we put the song on and Patrick just started singing all
everything?
This is Rage Against the Machine at James.
Oh yeah.
Like obviously it's not.
They're publicly known as Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. Big beat.
Like one.
Well, because these dudes were from LA and Rage Against Zach from Irvine. By the way, Irvine's a nice place.
Sure.
Very comfortable. Only 40 seconds left.
40 seconds.
Keep it steady.
This went down so much easier for me than that fucking 18 business track.
It's also 2 minutes shorter.
That's what it is.
Oh, we really picked a banger lineup here.
Well, I mean, so part of that was part of the exercise.
Yes, correct.
What's the worst shit we could pick? And Pat won.
I think are we turning people away from the year 2000? I hope somebody really liked that.
Me too. If you really like that, message us, and we'll have a phone call with you soon. This song is off of the Sick of It All album, Yours Truly. It is called Blown Away.
Okay.
Stay rocking. Steady rocking. Vocals solid as ever.
This is Big Room Hardcore right here.
Good.
See,
Rocks is really good.
I agree, Tom. But I need to acknowledge that the parts that make up the meat of this are pretty groovy.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Just blows me away. Vocals are carrying this track for me. Hold on.
Cartwheel stage dive at this point?
No question. There's people cartwheeling in the pit.
It's against you. I have to defeat you. It's only a word. You can only save
yourself. Can I say something that might not be easy to hear?
Yes.
If you take the singer of Downset and put him on this track, and you put on the other track, they're not worlds apart.
I was saying, it's pretty groovy. Yeah. Oh, and we have radio effect vocals, too.
Yeah. Where were you at on this record when it came out? Do you remember, really?
No, I've told you a million times, but I think the most striking thing about this is that they really believe this album cover tanked the record. You stand by it. I know.
It's terrible.
I don't know if it's terrible.
If you saw this in the record, so you wouldn't think it was sick.
No, you wouldn't. But everything else this year had even worse.
But sure, there was some stuff that was good. But when I saw this record,
aesthetically, you need to have a fucking through line. And this,
what's the Sick of It All record right before this? They hadn't done an LP in a while.
No.
There was one after that.
The one that's on Tact Records.
That's right.
It is.
Called Arms?
Cold Arms.
Oh, yeah.
Cold Arms visually looked like Sick of It All record enough, but I wasn't thrilled with it. And I was curious about Yours Truly, but then I saw it at Generation in the fucking CD, the listening station. Listen was like, nah, ain't for me. But that song's not terrible. All right.
The best song on there is a song sung by Armand, actually.
Really?
It's called Souvenir.
Mm.
You can tell they recorded this just coming off a Hot Water Music tour, because I feel like that's a song they might have asked Ian to sing on.
Oh.
Is that possible? I believe it might be.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not Rest in Pieces Armand, it's Chuck Reagan Armand.
Oh, wow.
Not a bad song, though. Very good.
Sure. Just a little bit
funny
of
funny story. So really briefly about that.
Please.
So they did their 25th anniversary, yep. Right? And their manager's friend of ours at the time. So they have Souvenir. It's like, I found a souvenir in things I reject. All this sort of, it's like a very like looking back kind of song.
Right, yeah.
So they put together a collage of the 25 years of the band.
Okay.
Flyers, pictures right. of themselves.
Sick.
Like, it's awesome. It's like, it literally goes from like them playing the right track in 1986 or 87 to like MPB tours, and just everyone's involved, right? So they, you know, lights go out, blah, 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 song starts. They put the big screen up in Webster Hall, and it's literally the like the blue screen of death on a Windows computer that they have to stop and like reboot the computer.
Wow.
Fucking 1,800 people there.
I love it.
It was so
love
perfect.
It. Love it.
Their manager at the time was Nate Ensign.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it was like, it just couldn't have gone any better. Like, this is exactly.
You start sweating.
Oh, my. Could you imagine trying to restart a computer in front of 1,800 people and your bosses who are, number one, they're furious.
Yep.
Yeah.
And number two, they're not nice when they're furious.
It's not great, Bill.
No.
It's not great.
Fuck.
As we've pointed out many times on this podcast, Tom knows them personally.
Yeah.
I've been an admirer for many years, and I think it is a natural fact they take themselves, as far as a business, very seriously.
They are a business.
And
no half-stepping.
And
motherfucker, there's 2,000 people here, and you're fucking...
When you're letting them down.
Yeah. Your fucking Dell fucking notebook fucking broke down. You couldn't have tested this before you fucking hooked it up to the...
Yep.
Yeah.
It's something.
Brutal. Brutal.
Mm. Well, Jerome's Dream.
Oh, no.
Brings us a song called A Well Documented Case of Severe Autism.
You know what? A little on the nose, fellas. Tom looks confused.
I don't mind the music.
Okay.
No,
vocals are terrible.
The vocals are what it sounds like when you blow into and squeeze at that time. Very unpleasant. I've tried to
You're
delve
not
into
anything.
Yeah, well,
I'm trying to delve into this style.
I think he's using room mics for the vocals. And it sounds like shit.
I rather like the music.
The music could get me at certain points.
Lost me.
You better have something really strong to transition back from this part, because the transition into it was nothing.
Heads up, these parts are useless, everybody. If your band's doing these parts, make sure it's the best part that's ever...
You better figure it out, because this seems cool the first time you try it, and then it's...
Precisely.
Like, dumb. What are you doing?
It makes me never want to go back to a track when it does
Kylo Ren this shit.
Kylo Ren, kill the past.
Kill this part.
Kylo.
Oh, my God.
What happened? No Raylo? Oh, there is a Raylo.
Spoiler.
Oh, my God.
Don't spoil yourself. Tragic.
Is this still... Come on, man. What, do you
have
some visions?
That's it.
What is this?
That's it. Fuck. It's only a minute 30, but it felt longer because that felt like one-third a song, right?
Fucking annoying.
I can fuck with the music. Vocals not really doing it for me.
All right. This song, kind of bring the energy back in the room. It's off a record called Cold Blue by the band Hope Conspiracy. It is the first track. It is called Fragile.
Cold Blue coming for you. Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck. So remember the first hearing this and been like, oh.
What?
Straight up absentee debate, dude.
Straight up.
Straight up. This would be the third track on that on Broken 7.
Yes. I mean,
fuck.
It's a little more overt than I remember, to be honest.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
more subtle melody stuff going on here than I remember all the time.
Yeah, same.
And this is Niraj and Dan Zimmerman from Harvest. This is before Aaron Lisi, Adam Patterson on drums, Jonas Feinberg on bass. This is 3/5 of Harvest.
Yeah,
crazy.
1/5 of Piecemeal, 1/5 of Extinction from Chicago. I'm going to say, go on record, Niraj, one of the best, low-key.
Super underrated.
One of the, he might be the Walter of the OOs.
He'll never get that.
Between
you're
this,
not terribly wrong.
Suicide, it's like, you really, he.
That is a good question. Who's the most prominent guitar player in hardcore of the 2000s?
Jim Carroll.
Todd Jones.
Oh, Todd Jones, sure. I mean,
it's tough.
You go Carry On,
Terror.
Yeah.
Betrayed.
Betrayed to fuck, man,
Ooh!
Niraj is very good, and you're totally right. Low key, very good, very dynamic.
And it stops and comes right back in.
The thing
is weird, though.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, not to talk about my fucking own stupid band, I feel like MPB Nothing in Vain, not that different from this. Posse Numbers would not give us a fucking shot in hell.
I'm kind of surprised they gave this a shot in hell.
But, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They fucked with this. A lot of
A little bit.
More, way more than
enough that they got the invite.
Did you guys never get the invite for Posse Numbers?
No.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is a band that, like, if you, like, Count Me Out, you could, like, Hope Con.
Well, they toured a bit together.
But if you, like, Count Me Out, we played with Count Me Out. Everyone waited outside.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
It's visibility. It's the aesthetics of it.
Yeah, but do you think people ever thought you were, like, Brooklyn dudes?
I think they thought we were, like, Brooklyn metalcore and give us a chance.
Yeah.
We played the Rotunda with Burn, Count Me Out, and Time Flies. And literally everyone that I knew, like, everyone waited outside, to the fact that it was like I saw
that was
and Gavin
shows,
be like two of the 20 people watching us.
Right.
And then I found later, Michelle, like, all my friends were like, yeah, I was there. I didn't even give you a chance. I was an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because guess what? Like, MPB, better than Time Flies.
Oh,
what are you doing?
What is this?
Oh, Striking Distance played that too. Mm. Striking Distance is great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, a Striking Distance fan and an MPB fan.
Completely divergent. I get that.
At that, I don't think it's necessarily so, but at that time, certainly.
MPB, closer to Burn than those other bands.
I also want to say this. HopeCon, I liked Cold Blue when I started to hear it here and there. But many people, and it wasn't really something, it wasn't my go-to. And I came to appreciate it years later. Probably in the mid-aughts, I started to appreciate Cold Blue. While I worked at Rev, I was like, oh, this is a cool record. But there was a lot of the stuff. You got to remember, for Michelle, I think, the same age as me. In 2000, we were 18. And people are just dickheads.
Yeah.
And especially, like, if you're into the more straightforward stuff, as you see, that world was dying. Like, I can speak very frankly about it, but, like, that world, literally in 1998 and 99, there was a weird territorialness about it, and it probably was a burn to a dude like you, Tom, in your position with bands, and a dude like you, Patrick, who just thought, like, the dudes who were dickheads about that in your area were dickheads. But for younger people, I got into it and got to see Flora Punch and fucking In My Eyes and Fast Break and all these bands. But then the next wave of bands were just not as good, and then you started having to look around for different stuff, and you were into it. But the stuff that you really wanted, the faster stuff that wasn't straight like punk, but like fast hardcore, was just dying on the vine or sucked.
Off the
was a weird thing.
Off the top of your head, sorry to make you,
please.
You don't know, the Census material.
Yes.
What's the closest thing? Did you put In My Eyes as one of the options?
I think the only one I put was Four Punch.
And what was the like to or love to hate, love versus hate on that?
Love was 26. Hate was 11
Jesus,
or something.
Jesus.
Like that. Yeah, it was not low. It was not high. It was tied with Lifetime. And I mean, I think that was the right choice from that group of bands, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like they might not have been the biggest at the time, But they aged the best.
They aged the best, and they always had a little bit of thing that people liked them yeah. more than other bands, you know. But yeah, it was a weird thing to experience. I'll say that. Like literally, it was a lot of mining for stuff. Like hoping, like man, maybe Varsity from Michigan got better. Maybe X Varsity X got better.
They didn't.
Nope,
spoiler
they did
alert.
Not, they did not. All right. Speaking of the movie life, this time next year, let's go. I think we're going to like
Can
this
I
more
graduate?
Than...
Can I
graduate? Like three, yeah, 100%. I think we're going to like this more than Strider.
Yes.
This is much better than...
I love the movie life.
Do you?
Yeah. Nothing?
Well, I'm undecided. I don't hate it. No. Maybe I do. No, maybe I don't. Is the bridge going to be clever or stupid? This is going to be the...
You'll like it. This band should have been bigger.
College movie soundtrack.
Yeah,
material.
Yeah, yeah. Van Wilder too.
Handsome straight edge kid.
Yeah.
Singing for a fucking.
They did like pretty good.
Pretty good.
But they could have done. They almost should have done way better.
Yeah.
Okay.
5 years later, would have been way bigger.
Help me with my ignorance. To our listeners, this isn't a bit. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I Am the Avalanche.
Yes.
Is this kid or
yes.
not? Okay.
Yes.
And that's Vinny.
Vinny Caruana.
Okay.
This is Vinny.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And he's really young here.
Yes.
But was he in shit before this?
No.
No.
Oh, all right.
He's got an older brother that was. But so he's in Movie Life. Movie Life breaks up. He does I Am the Avalanche.
Then
and
he does
also in Constant Elevation.
Oh, that one I don't know. What is it?
It's the band with Sammy.
That's
on
Revel.
Oh, listen to it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they will be playing the Gorilla Biscuit show that Indecision's playing on February 28th on Long Island.
That's cool.
Which is sold out.
It sold out already.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out in a day. Mm-hmm. Not to say we had anything to do with it, but we had something to do with it.
Might have had something.
Definitely.
So there's parts of this that I like, and then there's parts that I'm like, eh. I haven't listened to this record in a very long time. Probably since 2005. Had friends who love this
Road
band, love this record.
Guitar player, brother of Travis Riley from This Is Hell.
No shit.
Who's also in... Fuck. Nightmare of You.
Oh, okay.
Play guitar and sang.
It ain't, okay.
Kind of like a Brit poppy kind of thing.
We'll talk about it at some point, but I have a theory that... The circle of people who actually do creative stuff, be it music or art or anything, is so small that almost no one is. We could do Kevin Bacon all day.
Yeah. All day.
Yes. Yes. It started because a friend asked me about Hans and Andrew prank calling Mac DeMarco and where they get, because they've been prank calling him for years. So he just picks up and they talk to him for a while. And
it's very funny. I did not know that. It's very funny.
But so they just, like, he knows who they are now.
Yeah.
They've done it so many times. But. The friend was like, how do they get this phone number? I'm like, man, I think I could text like three people and get it now.
No question.
Yeah. And I think that's the story of everything. This is one of those like easy shovels. We go to Hope Con to Movie Life, right into The Point of No Return by Tragedy.
Do it.
Condition. Inside and Out. To The Point of No Return. My favorite song since I got into
it. Yeah?
Maybe. My favorite punk song.
Really good song.
Unrelenting. Watching this at Pointless Fest, stage diving, head walking. So many matches, bro. So many matches. I think I only watched half the set because of that. It's okay. How long is this epic song?
A minute and a half.
Oh, I was going to go 2:01. Oh, really?
Perfect. Doesn't overstay its welcome.
Give us that final line that we all love.
No, it's coming.
Give us the
payoff. We're halfway there.
I get tired playing this.
Seeing this band at ABC No Road was really, really, really cool.
I bet.
It was nuts. It was on this records tour. And it was one of those things where people were going crazy. Punks moshing. It smelled so bad. It was really cool.
Remember they played This Is Hardcore because they wanted to be able to play with Judge?
100%. That's the next
fucking holy shit.
That's the next to Bill D. Ram. During Judge. And he like just one of those things you look around like, oh, it's a dude from Tragedy. Oh, he's really excited to watch Judge.
Yeah, like they literally, that was one of the deals. Like that's why 100%. They wanted to play.
They wanted to play the same guy.
It's so fucking cool.
The dude singing right now, Bill D. Ram, sang some of the other Death Threat. Who, when they started out, were covering like Youth of Today.
Really?
Youth of Today, not Youth of Today, like we're not like Blazers, covering Disengage.
Wow.
They all have to burn the books!
Burn them anyway.
Great. Patrick, intro this one. This is our last song of our Y2K listening party. Okay. This is one of your favorite bands that ever happened.
Ever exists. There's mm-hmm. never been a better band than this. This is the band that I wish I was in. So, everybody, we've talked around this band. This is incomparable.
Incomparable.
There's nothing like this.
The best.
The best.
Around. No one's ever
gone. Yeah.
No one's ever gone.
So, everybody, we speculated that people would still have a warm feeling for this if the singer wasn't widely hated.
Or at least a better feeling, yeah. Because the singer was hated.
Hated. And this is if you can be hated before Twitter. You were doing it right, my G. Yeah.
This dude was hated before MySpace.
That is hard to get hated by word of mouth.
Yes.
It's very tough.
Now,
Do you remember when Heart Attack used to do the polls of like every year?
Yep.
Like favorite, nicest band of people.
Yep.
We got voted in the top 10 a couple times.
No shit.
That's that was very exciting. That was the only time we've ever appeared in Heart Attack. But they would do like most hated, most loved, most this, most. Yeah. And.
Shout out Heart Attack. Shout out to the person who created a Heart Attack fanzine archive where he scanned in all of the Heart Attack.
Is that Brent McLeod?
Yeah. Tinek.
So everybody, this, I've gone on record many times. Bob is kidding. This is not remotely a favorite band, but I think.
Partial inspiration for Have You Considered Punk Music?
No, but.
But you're only punk once.
You are only punk once. That's what we're going to play. Here's my defense of this band.
They in defense of Good Clean Fun, the self-defense LP on Run for Cover in 2000 and ever.
In satire.
In defense they of do, Good Clean Fun.
In satire, they do a better job of playing the different types of hardcore music that they attempt than many of the bands who tried to do it earnestly.
He's not wrong.
Okay.
You're Only Punk Once by Self-Defense.
I wish I was getting these residuals. Bob refuses. Meant to be.
You know the word shit.
Yeah, I haven't heard it in 12 years at least. But.
Oh, so back in 2008.
You know what I want to go on? I probably honestly did hear it last in 2008. So someone has gone.
This is a staple in the end of the year, man.
Before. All the shock is so clear to see. It was never meant to be. It's okay.
This motherfucker is fucking giving me the stink face about the goddamn movie life.
So you better do it right before you become the system that we all choose to fight.
I'm gonna give you Flag Day. That's a cover.
Please, when
the teddy bear next up.
Please, that's gonna for somebody that doesn't know anything about Good Clean Fun. That might be a mind blowing experience that we just provided. It's like, yes, everybody. There was a time that hardcore was so big that there was parody bands.
Yeah, that did quite well.
Yes.
They drew.
They did really well for years and were able to run off the fumes of it for even longer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for joining
us. Pat, I hate you.
Year 2000. It is what it is, folks.